We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show with a guy with not a gray beard and a guy who has a gray beard. What's up, Scott?
What's up, man? It's been a minute, right? This team has been struggling, and then Gerrit Cole comes in as the freaking stopper as he needed to be. So I'm happy to see that. You know, remember what I said in July, end of July? It was something along the lines of, I want to see this team not just go on a massive winning streak, but be able to lose some and then bounce back. That's what I want to see right now. They lost four after they came in and, you know, tore through through all the games that they're playing in, going back to 1961, just setting records. Now they kind of got knocked back down to earth a little bit on the West Coast trip, which is very much something that I think a lot of Yankees fans are just like exposed to. We kind of acknowledge the fact that when they go to the West Coast, it's hard. So let's now bounce back and get on, you know, win another five games, win four in a row, win five in a row, win six in a row, and just show that they can bounce off the mat quickly and not go into these sustained, you know, ups and sustained downs.
I tweeted that out, I think, after the first Anaheim loss. And I said, the Yankees' 13-game win streak was awesome. They played great. Yes, maybe they got slightly lucky, which led to a game or two win, but still, it's a legit winning streak that they went on. Now it's time for them to just start playing consistently good. They have to, because this team has been too wild on either end of the spectrum all season. We need to just see consistently good baseball in September. Probably going to win the first wild card at this point. Tampa just seems unstoppable in the division at this point. 7-game lead with a month to play of baseball is a pretty big hill to climb. Not impossible, but a lot of crap would have to go the Yankees' way in order for that to happen. So now let's just see consistent baseball for the rest of the month. Before we get to Friday Fives, though, I want to quickly mention the New York area just crushed with flooding.
Yeah, jeez.
And I'm very lucky where I am, but less than a mile down the road, like, it was underwater. So it's just like, where my house is situated in a good spot, not everyone is that fortunate. We have friends like Dom in Hoboken. Hoboken was just completely wrecked with flooding. And then there's this story that I saw on Twitter from Tom Smith about John Sterling getting stuck in the flood on his drive home from the game broadcast from Yankee Stadium. And Susan called him because Susan's at home doing the games. And he's like, no, I'm stuck. And then Susan calls Ricky Ricardo, the Spanish broadcaster, and he saves John Sterling. This is an 82, 83-year-old man who probably would have died
I don't know about that far, but yes, the fact that Susan Waldman and Ricky Ricardo went out there to like save the day, like Queen Susan, love her, going out to save John Sterling. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Warms your heart.
And it just shows
how people, this is what the team needs to look at. Look at what they're doing. Look at this camaraderie in the booth. Take that, bring it into the dugout, play for Susan, play for John, play for Ricky Ricardo, give them something. Let's go. But yeah, no, I hope everybody's doing okay. Everybody's listening. Obviously the majority, a lot of people that listen to our show are in the tri-state area. You know, my family is underwater in a few of their places. My sister is in Westchester. My father is in Central Jersey. So a lot of water. They're dealing with a lot of water and essentially bailing out. We were all passing around through family, just making sure everybody was okay. But we got a text message last night from Bevan's aunt, who's in Princeton. And it was a freaking, like, it looked like the rapids. What are they called when you're whitewater rafting? It's whatever the metric is. It looked like there was a river going down her driveway. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. It's such a helpless feeling. It's like, what do you do? You just like hope.
No, water will win every time.
It's always going to win. Yeah. So again, I hope everyone out there is safe. And if you lost some stuff, I mean, I feel for you. It's terrible. So hopefully the Yankees can start winning some ball games to take your mind off of it. But they did go on a four, number one takeaway. They went on a little mini four game losing streak after the win streak. Why did that happen? Some things that I saw: a lot of ground balls, a lot of double plays, which killed a lot of rallies that they had. So erased a lot of base runners. Like we talked about how Joey Gallo grounded into back-to-back double plays and he grounded into like 11 his entire career.
They also stopped moving on the base path too, which was interesting. They're like, hey, let's stop doing what we're doing in the winning streak and just go back to the nerds are back in play. Oh, we're back in a position. Now the nerds are back in charge. No. Play instinctual baseball, run.
Keep doing what you were doing. Do the things that won you a lot of games.
Yes.
Starting pitching, certainly this week, other than Garrett Cole, was not nearly as good. Kluber and Taillon, we're going to talk about them in a second. And then also, I just still see this team as being a mentally unaware team. And I look at that double steal that they allowed, the Ohtani steal of home on the double steal. And it was just like a poorly executed situation. Poorly executed play by the Yankees. The Anaheim's not going to the playoffs or anything like that, but it's just like, yeah, the Yankees are still going to get exposed on things like that. And to boot, Gio Urshela on the throw home falls down and hurts his hand. It's like, great. Great. The guy just came back and he falls on his hand and injures it. So it's just, those are like some general eye test takeaways that I saw from this team.
Maybe right. Gio's not supposed to participate in the rest of this season.
I know,
when
man.
He left, it's like, he was one of the guys you look at in the first half and you're like, all right, Gio cares. Gio's trying to do it. And then, you know, he gets hurt, is gone. They go on this streak and then he comes back immediately and, you know, two errors in that first game. It's like maybe he wasn't supposed to be where he is right now and that he gets hurt again. I don't know. It's strange. They have to go back to this like ragtag scrappy group of something for them to do well and like forced to play baseball in a way that makes sense. It's very odd.
The number two thing is Corey Kluber's return. I mean, it's obviously great that he's back on the mound and starting. He was on a 65-75 pitch limit, and he completely ran out of gas in the fourth inning. He ended up throwing 68 pitches. So, kind of an ironic situation because the Yankees pretty much were forced to call him up before he was ready to actually start a baseball game at 80, 90 pitches because they're just trying to avoid Andrew Heaney, who, other than one start, had been terrible for the Yankees. And what happened was they tried to push Corey Kluber. That didn't work out. He got crushed in the fourth inning. And then Andrew Heaney comes in and allows an absolute freaking moon bomb to Shohei Ohtani. So everything backfired in that plan on Monday night.
You know, I know we're going to talk about this later, and this is going to screw up our five looking back, five forward here, but it almost can't go without being said. Luis Gil is available. He's a guy that has not still hasn't done anything bad in the major leagues. This is a guy that's come out and proved that he can be a starting pitcher obviously small sample size, but he's been amazing in that small sample size. Why are we forcing a guy like Kluber to come back? You said that they were forced. They were not forced. They have options to be able to do this, to avoid Andrew Keeney if they wanted to. They chose not to. They chose to bring Kluber back. That's fine. If you're going to do that, like, I'm looking at the first 50 pitches. I'm like, all right, I'm excited because Kluber looked like he was doing really well. Clearly he fatigued. Clearly he was leaving the ball over the plate. You could tell his location was not where it was when he started getting mashed around. So I'm not chalking that up to anything besides the fact that he just wasn't ready to go beyond where he was. And the Yankees should not have pushed him beyond what that breaking point was. And clearly they did, and it backfired.
And it's like, look at the grand slam. Look at the grand slam pitch. It was a spinning slider in the middle of the plate.
Exactly. And then, yes, you bring in Andrew Heaney, who off the bat, boom, let's go. You got one of them out, making sure that we get those home runs in. But, if you're trying to avoid a guy like that, then do something different.
Luis Gil pitched in relief for Scranton on Sunday. And Boone said they want to see him, what he looks like out of the bullpen. But, quote, he's going to be throwing a starter's allotment of pitches. So they're trying to keep him stretched out, but trying to see what he looks like in a different role. I understand you want to see what he looks like in a AAA game coming out of the bullpen. However, if his
have dog shit coming out of the bullpen.
But thank you. If his role is going to be piggybacking out of the bullpen, just do that in the major leagues. Have him be the guy out after Corey Kluber and not Andrew Heaney.
Yes.
We're all done with the Andrew Heaney experiment.
Yes. Why does Luis Gil have to experiment in Scranton and in AAA when Andrew freaking Heaney comes still into the game? It makes zero sense to me. And oh, by the way, we're still in a race here. Why are we experimenting with the one guy who's done very well when come up and given an opportunity? Just allow him to be in the spots where he's done well, take the guy that's been complete horseshit and see what happens.
It's not even a question. We know what Andrew Heaney is and we know he's bad. Luis Gil can't be worse.
Exactly.
What's going on here?
And if he's not a starter, great. Transition him into the bullpen in the major leagues.
Number three, Jameson Taillon. Second start in a row, he's allowed at least 5 runs in less than 5 innings pitched. Look at these numbers in his last 4 starts. 18 and 2/3 innings, an 8.20 ERA, 21 hits in those 18 and 2/3 innings, 6 walks, 5 homers, a .284 batting average allowed, and an .887 OPS. He was really, really good pretty much from that terrible Philly start up until 4 starts ago. 6 weeks, he had a really good 6 weeks. But now, the last 4 starts, he's looked like that pitcher we saw in May and June again.
Well, I'm wondering we're getting into a territory now where you can speculate as much as you can. Maybe he's just not executing. Maybe he's not executing for a reason. Is it fatigue? Is it getting to a point where now he's just not able to finish a lot of the pitches? I don't know. I don't know what to explain. It could just be a bad stretch as well. It seems like him and Cole have like leapfrogged each other each time. Like Cole was struggling and Taillon was picking up his slack, and then Taillon's like, hey, now that Cole's back and actually doing really well, I can revert back to the mediocre pitcher that people thought I was. I don't know. I'm going to chalk it up right now to the guy, just struggling a bit in a stretch, and let's see if he can come back. I'm not ready to, say anything definitively in what he is. He still battles out there. It's like, it doesn't feel like he's that far off.
My slight concern is that when he was in that good stretch and then he was doing like interviews and stuff. I remember one with Meredith. She talked to him and she's like, what's different now? Like he's like, oh, I finally feel like I have my strength back. That's what he said. I finally feel like I have my strength back after coming back. And so that should have been like the hump that he got over. You know what I mean? And and hopefully this is just a bad stretch. Every pitcher goes through a bad stretch. Hopefully this is not a fatigue thing, because I thought we were past that. I thought he was fully rehabbed and we were past that.
Well, I mean, I think you can be past that beyond the rehab part, understanding that you feel strong for the rehab, but then you get to a point in the season when you're like, oh man, I haven't pitched this much in a lot, in years, and now it's like a different type of fatigue. So I don't know. This is all speculation again on the what he's actually feeling in his body, but yeah, I doesn't look like he's that far off.
He's up to 131 and 2/3 innings pitched. Remember that 140 number from spring training?
Yep. Who knows? It could be something along those lines. Would you be surprised if they gave him a couple you know, phantom stints to.
Who are you going to pitch instead?
I don't know, because apparently they don't care. They don't care if they go out and just experiment with people. I mean, they're. When you do,
that would
when
have
you
to, you'd that, have to do that now. You'd have to do that now because you want them ready for the playoffs. So, yeah. So you're going to give them the next 10 days off and then have them come back.
You would
the
have
last...
to do it right now. You're right. But when I see them rolling out Kluber, at this point, when he's not fully ready and you're not stretched out to a point, then I guess we are in full blow experimentation mode. Even though we were in a race for the AL East, clearly that is. I mean, do they just at this point say wild card number one? We got to do that and secure that that wild card spot and that home game.
I think 7 games back at Tampa with only 3 head to head matchups versus them, and that's at the very end of the season. You're not going to catch them.
Yeah, it seems pretty unrealistic at this point. I mean, you'd have to play a ridiculous winning percentage, and Tampa will have to lose a good amount of games too. So they're just looking like a very good complete team right now.
Gerrit Cole, number 4. Was that his biggest performance of the season? And I say this understanding that he did pitch a complete game where he told the manager to go sit down or else he's going to give him a noogie on national TV in Houston. But stopping the 4-game losing streak, 15 strikeouts, 32 swings and misses, he was unhittable in 7 innings. Was that his biggest performance of the season?
Yeah, it's right up there. You could definitely put the other one where he pitched complete game. On top of that, but this one at this point of the season, with the situation what was happening where they were losing 4 on the West Coast, the Yankees needed a stopper very badly there. They needed to stop that bleeding so that they could get back and start feeling good and get back into some winning baseball. Because if that goes on too far, then you're like, man, the doubt starts trickling into your mind, right? Like, was that 13 game winning streak? Was that winning streak real? Were there elements of it that were too much of like you start doubting yourself when you're losing, you go and lose 5 in a row or 6 in a row.
And you would have lost the last game with Cole on the mound.
Yes. So yeah, no, I think it's a big deal given the situation where the Yankees are right now. They needed that. They absolutely needed that. And I'm glad that he showed up, nutted up, struck out 15 dudes and stopped that streak in every possible way that he knew how to.
I liked in the one inning that he allowed a run, he just walked off the mound, shaking his head. The dugout was like giving him high fives. He's like, no, do not high five me for that.
That's when Gerrit Cole is at his best, when he's like just absolutely pissed off at himself, when he's held to like the highest standard by himself. When we saw him go through that unbelievable run in the beginning of the season, he was hard on himself the entire time. Very much like the meticulous perfection striving ace that you want to have. So I absolutely love seeing him, shitting on himself for minor mistakes.
Number 5, is Aaron Judge now back in the MVP conversation? I don't even know if it's back. Is he in the MVP conversation?
Hell yeah, he's in the conversation.
Ever was. So he's hitting .500 in his last 39 plate appearances. He had an unreal month of August. He's hitting .299 on the season. So he's the only basically .300 hitter on the team, Aaron Judge. And do you believe that Giancarlo Stanton is second on the team in batting average at .272? What are the odds that Judge and Stanton would be 1-2 in batting average on the team to start the year? Astronomical odds.
Right. I mean, obviously you throw LeMahieu in there, you expect LeMahieu to be, I think Judge you would expect to be among the top 5, but not leading, because he's always been able to hit for average as well.
Sure. But the fact that they're 1-2, and I know .272 is a far, far cry from .299, and Judge's average not too long ago was like .280, but then he went on a...
Nobody cares about batting average, Andrew. Nobody cares about batting average.
I don't know.
Are you coming back around?
I'm not coming back around on batting average, but I like to use it when it's convenient.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's sort of the nerds. The nerds do the same thing with like the 97 stats that they use too. They use whatever's very convenient for them at the time.
So
but no, it does tell a story, and he's been absolutely on fire. And when you look at the MVP running,
Otani's going to win the MVP.
Otani, yeah, I think if he stopped playing today, he might still win it. Honestly,
he's going to lead the league in home runs, and he's a pitcher. Like he's going to win the MVP,
and not a bad pitcher.
So it's like fine. I'm not even complaining about it. But Judge, where he ranks in the American League for position player war, he ranks 6th behind Vlad, Marcus Simeon, Mullins, Correa, Jose Ramirez, and then Aaron Judge is number 6. Shohei Ohtani, number 7, But again, that's only as a position player. As a pitcher, Shohei Ohtani, even better.
So. And Judge, I think one of the bigger things you look at too is the amount of games played. The guy's been
stayed on
in
the field.
There. Yeah. And you know, if you remember one of my bold predictions, it was that Aaron Judge was going to play. What did I say? 150? Did I say 150 or 140?
No, you wouldn't have said 150.
I think it was 140, maybe. He's certainly on pace to do well and be an MVP candidate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, a couple look-aheads. We already talked about Luis Hill. Like, what are you waiting for, Yankees? Just call him up, pitch him. No more Andrew Heaney. Number two, is the Voit-Rizzo playing time thing becoming a distraction? And the reason I ask that is because every single night, one of the leading topics on the Yes broadcast is who's starting, Rizzo or Voit? Is Voit starting? Is Giancarlo Stanton in the outfield? What's Voit and Rizzo doing? Is Voit happy? Is Rizzo happy? What is Aaron Boone saying about Voit and Rizzo? It's just like, I feel like it's kind of becoming a distraction. And now both are kind of struggling.
Well, both are struggling, not really, though, because Luke Voit just doesn't freaking play. And when you go back and look at his games played, the guy actually has been productive when he's played. But for whatever reason, Aaron Boone cannot get him in the lineup and figure that out. No, I think it's Aaron Boone's job to make sure that they are both in the lineup at a pretty consistent basis, and to make sure that, you know, there's really nothing there as far as any controversy inside that clubhouse. That is looking down the stretch, should be one of the areas that he is focusing on. Because why? Luke Voit is a very productive hitter right now. Rizzo went through some you know, big struggles. I think he's started to come a little bit, but he's definitely not been the same guy he was in the, you know, first week when we all got fired up and thought he was going to.
COVID kind of derailed that a little bit. He's, you know,
but Voit's been productive. Voit's been productive.
Voit has had a couple bad games, so I don't want to say he's in a slump. He's had a couple bad games, and then ironically, Rizzo had like two good games in Anaheim after struggling for a while. So I don't know. Both are kind of just been up and down. But do you think it's a distraction though?
No, I don't. I don't think it's a distraction inside. But again, I think it could be. Aaron Boone needs to be able to, if Aaron Boone continues to keep Luke Voit on the bench and not play him when his bat is actually serving the Yankees well, then yeah, it could be a problem and a distraction because he's not playing the guy that should be playing. That's how it becomes a distraction, is if Aaron Boone doesn't do his goddamn job and put in the correct people that should be playing. That's how it becomes a distraction.
Other players recognize that.
Not other players. The players that are sitting get frustrated And then, yes, I think other players do recognize that, but it starts with the players that should not be sitting and are sitting. I think that frustration boils up, and that can be a detriment.
Number three, Gleyber Torres should be activated probably on Friday, now that September call-ups or the roster is expanded. Boone said that Velasquez is going to stay on the roster. And obviously now Gio Urshela's status kind of puts a wrinkle in all of this, but I'm assuming Wade also remains there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Gleyber. He's going to be the starting shortstop
of the New York Yankees.
He's the shortstop, which means in the seventh inning, you need to take him out for defense.
Good. I'm glad Glaber's back. You know, he's another talented baseball player that just hasn't shown himself this year. So maybe now is the time for him to be able to step on that stage and be able to show himself. But you know, at the end of the day, guess what? The Yankees won without him as well, and they proved that they can win without Gleyber Torres. So to me, if anything, like he can be an offensive boost here. But yeah, you're right. Seventh, eighth, shit, sixth, depending on the game, he might get pulled for defense.
Number four, Luis Severino is running out of time. Boone said yesterday Severino is still 7 to 10 days from throwing off a mound again. So if we do 7 to 10 days, that's like September 9th or 10th or 11th, he's throwing off a mound. And then I'm assuming he's going to have to do at least one or two rehab games in the minors, September 15th, September 20th. So then what? Like September 25th?
He's a bullpen guy now, right? He's a bullpen guy. We're not stretching him out.
I haven't said that, but yeah. I mean, I don't see how he is anything but a bullpen.
So then my question, so when we're looking at the timetable of when he could come back from, you know, starting a throwing program to throwing on a mound to actually being in a game and, you know, being stretched out to 100 pitches, 90 pitches, whatever.
That's not happening this year.
Okay, so then why in God's name are we not keeping Luis Gil stretched out? The guy who has done
absolutely a starter's allotment of pitches just out of the bullpen.
It's so stupid. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. A starter's allotment of pitches. Shut up with the commentary about that. No, make him continue him as a starting pitcher. Allow him to continue to pitch from inning one through whenever he, you know, stops pitching on that given day. Keep him as a starter. Are we depending on Corey Kluber being the guy? Because if Severino's not going to be coming back, now we're running into some problems here. We should have Luis Gil stretched out and continue to stretch out. And oh, by the way, work on his craft for the next month so that he's maybe a little bit more mentally prepared to walk into a situation that we're going to need him in. And not have to do some dumb shit like, hey, let's start him. And then all of a sudden, Andrew Heaney comes in the second inning because we're doing
an
opener situation.
And
there's a love the matchup. No. But it's trending in that direction.
The last thing is the remaining schedule. So they've got a 7-game homestand against Baltimore and then 4 games against Toronto. So 3 against Baltimore, 4 against Toronto. Then they play 3 games at the Mets. And they have a makeup game, which erases an off day against the Twins. And then they have, let's just stop there. So this next stretch, you have to, so like you said.
Beat the shit out of Baltimore.
Secure, and that's the difference in the division. It's the Baltimore games.
And Chad Green.
But now you just have to concentrate on securing that second, securing that first wild card spot. So you're not burning Garrett Cole down the stretch to secure a home field wild card game. What needs to be the focus right now.
They need to but break it down even simpler. Just like win every single possible game you can and don't worry about where the shit is. Like they can't be watching the standings at this point. They just need to go out there and win every game. You get as cliche as humanly possible here and you win the game in front of you. And that's what you do. Every game is important. Backs against the wall. Win every single game. Beat the shit out of Baltimore. Beat the shit out of the Mets who are a disaster. And their fans and their freaking players are fighting over something that it's so dumb.
Boston is 2 games back of the Yankees. And there's 3 games left with Boston.
Yes. Yeah. Important. Important to win those games. That's math right there for you. 2 games up. 3 games to play. Win those games. Win at least one of those games,
mm-hmm.
and then you're in good shape.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for Friday Fives. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back at you again with an episode. Well, it's Labor Day on Monday, so I don't know. Maybe we'll be back at you Monday. Maybe we'll be back at you Tuesday. One of those days, you will have a new episode.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.